This is Sharon Lipinski, and I am on the phone with Blair, who is the chair of the Seacoast Women's Giving Circle. And that circle was founded in April of 2006. So it's a giving circle that's been around for a few years, and they've had a number of giving cycles. Blair, could you start by just giving us a little bit of information about your giving circle?
Sure, Sharon. Thanks for having me. The Giving Circle here on the Seacoast was founded in 2006 by a group of 12 women who came together with the founder, whose name is Anne Suddeth, and was the former chair, and wanted to apply their skills and interests and passion for philanthropy in the form of a Giving Circle on the Seacoast. And the mission of the group is basically to improve the quality of life on the Seacoast through collective giving and grassroots action.
Oh, are you focusing then on specific issues? Do they affect women, or are they affecting just your local community specifically?
Well, what we do is we focus geographically on the Seacoast region, which is made up of about 8 towns on the seacoast of New Hampshire and southern Maine. And we pick an issue every year to focus on. So it doesn't have to be, one year we did focus on women's issues, but it doesn't specifically have to be. We focus on the environment, on housing and homelessness, on at-risk youth, and most recently on seniors in our community.
Okay. I was taking a look at your website earlier, and it seems like you place a large emphasis on the education portion of giving. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. I think I'm so glad that you raised that. We've sort of started to realize over the past 5 years that the educational component of our group is what really sets us apart in many ways as a philanthropic vehicle. And what the group does once we pick an issue is we spend the entire fall learning about that issue as it pertains to New Hampshire and to our region specifically. So we bring in panels of guest speakers from the field and the community and community leaders who have knowledge about the issue to speak to us and to educate our group about what the needs and the issues are that are facing a particular population or a topic that we're learning about. And we spend a lot of time and energy really doing our research and learning about the many needs in our community before we go through the grant process.
Why do you think that's important?
You know, the group values that tremendously. And I think part of it is that we spend so much time with the educational component so that when we actually do give our gift and we contribute to a pooled fund in June and we go through the grants process, we feel like we can not only give a dollar amount to this to the organization that we eventually pick, but we can really raise awareness in our community and with our friends and family members and neighbors about what's happening in our area pertaining to the particular issue that we've been studying. And it brings a depth to our giving and a real sense of sort of a real foundation that's built up behind the gift. And it magnifies the power of our giving tremendously.
Interesting. So you were mentioning when we were exchanging emails that you were actually going through your grant process right now.
Yes, we're right in the throes of our grant process. That process begins really in December when we decide what it is exactly we are looking to fund. So, for example, when we select a topic like seniors, we know that that's too broad to just say we want to fund something in the area of seniors. So after we've spent the fall learning about the issue, we narrow the focus of our topic for the grant process. So this year we narrowed the focus to providing non-medical support to seniors in order that they may age with dignity in their homes. So we got more specific about what we were looking to fund, and then we send out a request for proposals, or RFP, to local nonprofit organizations, community leaders, and sort of grant-making and funding organizations that we've liaised with. And we post it on our website. And in January, we receive our grant proposals, and we have a committee that reviews them. And mm-hmm. by March, we have four finalists. By April, we have, four semifinalists, I should say. And that gets narrowed to mm-hmm. two finalists in this month, and we just heard from their executive directors directly. And we'll vote in early May to select our gift recipient.
Okay. So there's a lot of work going on in committees then, right?
Yeah.
Is that what's
yeah.
happening?
There's a lot of work that's happening in committees. Our full active membership, and when I say active, that's the group of women, the core group of women that are doing the work of the group. We meet once a month as a group of active members, and in between that, committees are meeting regularly to do either the educational component or the volunteer component or the grant process.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned active members, and then you have committee members. How many members does your giving circle have?
Well,
altogether.
Let me just highlight sort of how our structure works. We all
okay.
together now, we have, I think we have 103 members.
Okay.
The active members is a group of about 30. And those are the women that are dedicating quite a significant amount of time to getting the actual work of the group done. The next category of membership is alumna, and those are women who were active and have decided to step back and remain supportive and contributing to the pooled fund and attending events but aren't attending monthly active member meetings, aren't voting members, and they're not
mm-hmm.
required to have any specific time commitment to the group. And we recently,
okay.
Over a year ago, we added a category that we called backer membership to address
okay.
A growing interest in the community in joining the group. And a backer member is sort of an investing member, and they are they contribute annually, and they're invited to all of our events and to volunteer with us. They receive a members-only newsletter. They come to a learning, a sort of educational event, a fundraising event, and they're considered members of the Giving Circle, but they have a very flexible time commitment, and they don't come to monthly meetings, and they don't vote. So between those three categories of membership,
uh-huh.
we have 103 women in the group today.
Okay. So I'm interested to hear that you have a group of membership that doesn't participate in the voting.
Mm-hmm.
What do those members get out of belonging to your Giving Circle then?
These are women in the community who either were sort of passionate about the work that our group was doing and interested in learning about the needs and contributing philanthropic dollars in a very educated way.
Mm-hmm.
Or they would like to be active members at some point and their timing isn't right for them now, or they're waiting to find until there's a spot that opens up that they can jump in into the active membership. But we really
yeah.
felt like to keep the active membership to 30 allows for us to meet monthly in a member's home and have an intimate experience and manage the work of the group in a way that's efficient and possible, basically. To do that with 103 members felt very diffused and less less efficient and less intimate for the group.
Very interesting. I didn't realize that you intentionally limited the amount of your active members. So
a lot of people don't want to be active members because it's a big time commitment. So the backer mm-hmm. membership is a great option for women who are interested in philanthropy or interested in volunteering or interested in educating themselves about the needs of their community, but they just don't have the bandwidth or the time to do something on a weekly, monthly basis the way the active members
mm-hmm.
do.
Mm-hmm. So now you have a meeting once a month with your active members. What does that
mm-hmm.
what does that meeting usually look like?
It looks like a little bit of social time in the beginning. We bring food and drinks, and we get together, and each meeting has a purpose. So the fall meetings, the purpose is the educational piece. We often have a meeting for vision and strategy for the group. We sometimes will have a meeting where we have a speaker about philanthropy or advocacy or some kind of supplemental sort of educational topic for the group to talk about. And then the spring meetings are voting meetings and grant meetings where we're learning about the nonprofits that are serving the needs of our community, and we're narrowing down the pool of applicants and really sort of working through the grant process.
How long does a typical meeting last?
They usually start around 6:30, and we try to finish up by 9:30.
Okay. So those are pretty long meetings. I can see why it's such a large time commitment for your members.
Yeah, it's quite a lot.
Are your different categories of members contributing different dollar amounts?
The minimum donation for every member is $200 per year, and that is across the board for every member. Many members contribute more than that, but that there's mm-hmm. no expectation. That the expectation is $200.
And do they get any additional benefits for contributing more? Or is
they
it
do
just
not.
If you want,
in fact,
no,
it's
okay.
anonymous. We work with a volunteer bookkeeper so that members' contributions remain anonymous.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Now, are you guys a nonprofit organization or 501c3?
We are not.
So members' contributions to this group, are they writing the checks to the Seacoast Women's Giving Circle, or is it
No.
directly to the organization when it's chosen?
Correct. We write our checks directly to the organization.
Okay. So at the end of this grant cycle, when the active members vote, everybody in the membership will then write a check to that organization in the amount of at least $200.
That's right. We're going to have an event in June, like our annual celebration, and as many members as possible, hopefully, will be there to meet the executive director of the organization and hear from that person about the work of the program. And everybody will have their chance at that event to write their check, and the members who can't attend the event will mail their checks in within a certain
mm-hmm.
time frame.
Okay. Now, your Giving Circle has been around for 5 years. You've been a part of it for 4 years, so you've seen the organization grow. How has it changed over time?
It's changed in so many ways, but the fundamental mission has remained constant, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, we've grown in numbers, for sure. It exploded over the past 5 years. And it's... I think one of the most wonderful characteristics of the group has been our willingness to evolve and change every year. Every year we do something differently. So the process
mm-hmm.
has always changed. We're always willing to say, you know, this didn't work as well as it could have. Let's change it for next year. The
mm-hmm.
biggest change that we've incurred since the founding of the group was that our founder and former chair, Ann Fedeth, moved out of state in this past summer. And so we changed the leadership structure to a new structure, and actually a more sustainable structure for the long term, because it was getting
mm-hmm.
too big for one person to really be handling so much of the work. So we've had a big transition this year, and it's been very positive. And a lot of members work alongside me to do significant amount of you know, the running of the group. I have an advisory
mm-hmm.
board, and we meet regularly, and it's a really great team. So
mm-hmm.
there's lots of people involved.
So you've mentioned that you exploded in growth. Can you talk a little bit about where your new member come from? Do you recruit them? Do you advertise? How do people find out about what you're doing?
We don't advertise specifically for membership. We have been in the newspaper every year, one or two times at least, you know, around our giving. And we try
mm-hmm.
to highlight not ourselves, but the organization that we're giving to. So we do PR in order to put that organization out and raise awareness for the organization that we've selected. The
mm-hmm.
majority of the women who hear about us and join is through word of mouth. They just
mm-hmm.
have a friend who's in the group and who's invited them to one of our events or one of our educational panels, or who heard about it, you know, because we were doing a volunteer project and they wanted to participate. Whatever it is, it's really been word of mouth that's, and this is not a big community. This is a relatively small community. So people do hear about the Giving Circle and the work that we're doing, and women can go online at any point and just join. So mm-hmm. it's very easy.
Mm-hmm. Over the years, what have you noticed as your biggest challenge?
That's such a great question, and I was thinking about that before this interview. One of the challenges I think always with a group like this is just group process and facilitation. That's always been a work in progress, and something that we've all worked on, you know, to have a group that's working, that's gelling, working efficiently and successfully, and that the experience is enriching and impactful for every member in whatever way, you know, she wants it to be. There's a big scope of work to be done, and we are all volunteers and women with jobs and families and very mm-hmm. busy lives. Mm-hmm. So that's always a challenge, just to continue to keep it fresh, to keep it fun, and also get the work done so that we're being an effective philanthropic group in our area.
Are there any of your strategies or tools that you use to help keep things fun and keep it fresh and effective all at the same time?
Yeah, I think what's worked for us is really listening to everybody's different ideas, which has been, you know, when you have this many women running an organization, you really get a great array of ideas and insights and inspiration, and really allowing different members to take the lead in different areas of the group has kept it fresh. Rotating the leadership positions so that there's a lower level of burnout and is very helpful, so that members can have years where they don't do as much and then other years where they're really doing a lot. Mm-hmm. We've changed our topic of interest every year so far, which we don't have to do. We could spend 2 years on something if we wanted to, but every year the group has voted on a new topic, and so it really feels fresh every year that we're diving into a whole new arena of issues and needs in our community. So that's probably the biggest refresher. We sort of hit the reset button every August, and we start in on something new. So that's been really, really great for us as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, if somebody were interested in starting their own giving circle, what kind of advice would you give them?
Go for it. I think giving circles are the up and coming answer to so many of our national, community, local, grassroots needs on every level. You know, they can come in any shape or size, and I would say start small and allow it to evolve to whatever it's going to be, and be open to change, be flexible, but stay true to your members' interests and passions, mm-hmm. and you'll be golden.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great advice. When you think about what the Giving Circle has done for you, why do you still belong after 4 years?
Wow. The Giving Circle has impacted my life so tremendously. And for each member, I think in our group would answer this question a little bit differently. So I can give you an overview of some of the things I think really ring true for many of us, and I can give you my personal perspective. Mm-hmm. But in general, I think that members are drawn to the impact that our gift has on the organization that we choose. It can really be transformational for a nonprofit serving the needs of our community. And it's also been so fantastic to see how getting involved in philanthropy, and for many members this is their first time getting involved in philanthropy, has opened doors to so many people in the group. We have members, so many members now serving on nonprofit boards of directors or being advocates for an issue, learning about how to be an advocate, volunteering for the organizations that we've read about in grant proposals. It's really opened so many doors of opportunity for people to get more involved. And it's also a great way to get to know other women in the community and to apply your skills and passions and resources in a way that might be different from anything else you're doing in your daily life. And that is so good for all of us to be doing things outside of family life, outside of work life, that are really meaningful. And I think that brings a lot to everybody.
Yeah. How important is it to you how much money that you're able to donate? Does that play an important factor, doing it as a group versus doing it individually?
I think that it plays a very important factor in the sense that when you contribute to a pooled fund, you're magnifying the power of your gift, you know, infinitely. So I can give $200, but that's actually going to end up being at least $20,000 for a nonprofit just by being a part of the giving circle. So that $200 gift from me suddenly can completely change, you know, the trajectory that this nonprofit is able to launch itself into. Because we can fund a new staff person, or we can fund marketing and communications and PR to launch them on the seacoast, or, you know, whatever it is that we're funding. Do I think that the actual dollar amount that the group gives an organization, we know it's going to be at $20,000 because of having 100 members, and it's likely going to be more than that going forward because many members are very generous. So, the actual dollar amount every year fluctuates a little bit. It has always gone up. We've doubled, we've even tripled our giving amount. We've given over 100, close to 150,000 now, about 130,000 total. I know, it's incredible. And we've gotten matching gifts from community members and businesses, and we've gotten foundation, you know, people's family foundations have provided matching gifts. So we've really raised a lot of money. And in that sense, it's not so much for me the dollar amount, you know, that it ends up being. It's the power of the group giving that I think makes such a difference.
Well, if somebody is out there right now and they're in the New Hampshire area, they might be wanting to find out more about your organization, what's the best way for them to check you guys out?
The best way right now is to go on our website, www.seacoastwomengive.org, and you'll find my email address, contact information there, and everything about our mission and purpose and past gift recipients, things like that. So that's the best way at this point, or to call me directly.
Okay. And if you wanted to give them a nice, succinct, compelling reason why they should come and take a look at what you guys are doing, what would you tell them?
I would say this is a dynamic group. The women in this group are phenomenal. They're wonderful people to get to know. The ability to explore philanthropy and to get educated about the needs of our community is so important, to learn about the many nonprofits that are doing incredible work right here on our doorsteps, and to have an opportunity to volunteer. We have a big volunteer component to our mission, and that is incredibly meaningful for the members as well. So I think all of those things are drive women to come to our site or to call and find more out about us.
Mm-hmm. Blair, I want to thank you so much for your time this evening. I know you have an incredibly hectic schedule, and I appreciate it. And thank you for sharing words of advice with everybody out there who might be interested in starting a giving circle. I think it's such a wonderful opportunity when we all have this need to give back and to contribute, and then to actually do it, to take that step and start a giving circle or to join one and become a chair and do all the work that you're doing is such a wonderful gift that you give yourself and an example that you set for your family. So thank you so much for that.
Oh, it's absolutely my pleasure, Sharon. Thank you for embarking on this project. It's going to be a gift to many, many people.